organizers for the opportunity to talk about this. Actually, when I gave the title, I thought to was thinking more about higher categorical structures, but there will be not so much higher in the talk. As a kind of compensation, there will be no Hopf algebras in the talk, but that's not my fault. I was specifically asked to talk about some older work with Alessandro Valentino, Jan Priel, and Christoph Schweigert. There will be a second part about work in progress with Christoph Schweigert and Gregor Schaumann. And the general theme is three-dimensional topological field theory with defects. And there are various motivations, which I do not spell out, because some of those motivations apply to all of you. So, but what I want to do is, as a warm-up, say a few things about defects in general quantum field theories. If we think about defects between two quantum field theories, then this includes, in particular, the case of physical boundaries, where one of these theories is the trivial theory. You have to have a notion of that. And some kinds of defects will appear in any quantum field theory. What we are interested in this talk are topological defects, which you can try to characterize by the statement that if you deform these defects, properties of the theory, like correlators, will not change. And for such types of defects, there are various natural properties that you would expect. There are higher dimension, higher codimension defects. So if you have two defects between the same pair of theories, then there can be defects of one dimension lower between them. This continues, so we would expect that there is a natural formulation in terms of higher categories. You would expect that if you if you have orientations, you can reverse them, and this would correspond to some kind of duality. If you have two defects, remember you assume you can deform them, you can bring them close together, and if you're far away, you cannot distinguish them from a single defect. That would define a fusion product. And for that fusion product, there will in particular, or should be a unit, which one might call the transparent defect. And as a consequence of that, the categories, also higher categories, will have monoidal and rigid structures. Two more points on the wish list will be the following. There is an interesting, or should be a subclass of topological defects which is of particular interest, are those which are invertible. So if we take the fusion product of the defect with its dual, then we get a trivial defect. And one way to characterize them is that the fusion product can be rewritten, or this picture, if it makes sense, can be rewritten in this form. So this could be just one line defects, one-dimensional defects in two dimensions. If you just take this literally, or you could extend this to higher dimensions. Because of the dualities, if the structures are nice enough, you will have dimensions, and they can be appear. There can appear a factor of dimension, which, however, for the invertible ones can only be plus minus one. And this, such identities will give you identities between correlators. The invertible defects will form a group and actually via somewhat more involved considerations, you will typically get an action of that group as a symmetry group on various structures in your theory. Another thing you can do is wrap a topological defect around some insertion. Again, this is drawn in two dimensions. If you now bring these close together, use fusion products, you will get a picture of that, and that of that type, and that you would interpret as a sum over these order fields. Now, there's a special class of defects, again, called duality defects, where I can undo this effect of replacing a bulk field by a disorder field by wrapping with some other defect, which is just a dual one, and then you see you turn your disorder field back into a bulk field, even only if the fusion product of the defect with its dual is a direct sum of defects of this type. And this way you get order-disorder dualities, and again there is an action on various field theoretic quantities. In general, this will be just a wish list, but if you look at any nice class of field theories, we will hope that we can realize some of these wishes, and indeed in two-dimensional rational conformal field theory, this is completely established. So, in the first part, I want to describe how you can see some of these structures in the case of Rashid-Dikin Toraev type three-dimensional topological field theories. Remember, we have cobordisms. If I think of the topological field theories as 3-to-1 extended, so we deal with a bicategory where objects are closed oriented one manifolds, morphisms are spans of one and two manifolds, and similarly then for two morphisms, and one has a tensor product which is given by this joint union, and then there's a monoidal bicategory of two vector spaces, which has its objects finite K-linear abelian categories. Semi-simple assumed here, but I will relax this in the second part. And then there are linear functors and natural transformations. And again, there's a tensor product, minor the linear product, and then an extended three-dimensional topological field theory is just a symmetric monoidal functor between these two categories. And you can say a bit more about that, but that is not what I want to do. Let me just make one comment. If you look at a category that your functor associates to the circle, then this has is endowed with a tensor product, simply by the one morphism that is given by the pair of pants. And if we redraw this in this form, so the circle on the right here is say here on the outside, and we see that actually there is a two morphism which provides a braiding for this tensor product. So naturally we will in this situation deal with braided monoidal categories. And now we would like to extend such functors to the situation where instead of the cobordisms as I described them, we allow for an extension, which I cobord D, where D stands for defect. So the objects are now one manifolds with some marked points. One morphisms are spans with embedded one manifolds, which connect these marked points on the boundaries, and similarly for three two morphisms. And tensor product is the same as before. And of course, you have to give more details here, but that is not so hard. I will not go into the details because I will not give you, will not be able to give you a concrete two functor of this type, only some elements of what you need. And in the first part, I just describe one particular aspect of such topological field theories. or several particular aspects. In the second part, I will give you first some first steps towards the construction. And in this first part here, we are talking about Rashid King-Turayev. So we have modular tensor categories as an input. And we can have Wilson lines labeled by objects of this category and graphs where the vertices are labeled by morphisms. And the two boundaries, cut and paste boundaries, we will associate state spaces which are obtainable as morphism spaces, pseudo morphism spaces of that category. And we can now replace our source category by this more general one, including more general manifolds. And then what we will get is a theory in which we have three-dimensional regions which are labeled by modular tensor categories. Then there can be interfaces between these regions, two-dimensional, which themselves can have one-dimensional interfaces and so on. And we would like, in the end, to construct such a two-functor, but in particular, we would like to be able to tell what are the possible labels for boundaries and for surface defects, and then also for higher co-dimension structures. And what I will describe are arguments which lead to the conjecture in those papers I mentioned that the boundaries, respectively surface defects, fit together into bi-categories of certain module categories. And to enter these arguments, let's just assume we have a physical boundary to some bulk region which is labeled by a given modular tensor category. And we just choose a label for that A. Now we expect that in that two-dimensional region, we can have one-dimensional defects, which we would call boundary Wilson lines. And again, these defects can have then zero-dimensional insertions. And if we have several of them, we expect that we can compose them by bringing them close to each other. And this will give us some composition of these. And if all of this makes sense, then we will have a category of Wilson lines on our two-dimensional boundary, which we have labeled by this letter A. And assuming that this works, we can now look at various manipulations. We can have some other Wilson line in our two-dimensional boundary and then bring them together, as I mentioned before, which should give us a fusion product. And this should work for the Wilson lines themselves, but including insertions. So really, this will give us a monoidal structure on this category WA. And also, since we should be allowed to deform these Wilson lines, there will be some rigid structure. And we then also impose some semi-simplicity or finiteness conditions. For these, I do not have very good arguments, actually. I said that I would like to relax certain things later on. Essentially, this is motivated by the fact that if we do not make these assumptions here, then we simply cannot go on. But in any case, there are arguments which make these requirements plausible. And if this is the case, then we will end up with some spherical fusion category of Wilson lines in this boundary labeled by A. And that I will use as an assumption. And then, based on this assumption, think of further processes which will give us a relation between this category of boundary Wilson lines and the category C in this three-dimensional region to which we have a boundary. And the first is that we can take a Wilson line in the bulk and move it to the boundary adiabatically. And this should make sense, including insertions on our Wilson lines. And that will provide us a functor, which we call FA, from the category C in the bulk to the category, well, remember, Wilson lines in the bulk are labeled by C, to the category WA. And then, if this makes sense, we can also look at the following situation. We have two Wilson lines in the bulk. We can fuse them and then bring the fused Wilson line to the boundary, or we can bring them separately to the boundary and then fuse them there. This should be compatible. And this will give us a Korean family of isomorphisms, which provides a monoidal structure on our functor. So we say, we assume that, I have arguments that there should be a monoidal structure. Another thing we can do is assume there is already some Wilson line on the boundary, and we take a bulk Wilson line and bring it to the boundary. Because we can deform these Wilson lines as we wish, we can bring it to this side or to this side, and that should give compatible results. And this will result in a coherent family of isomorphisms of this type here, and this is nothing what is called the central structure on a monoidal functor. One way to think of central structures, which is this in this paper by David of Müger, Nikschitz, Ostrich, is as a choice of lift to the center of the fusion category. So a functor, which I call F tilde A, which makes this triangle commuting. And under the assumptions that we have made on our categories, one actually knows also from this paper that this lift will then be fully faceful. At this point, we make another assumption or postulate, namely we say that, we have seen that this process of bringing the bulk Wilson line to the boundary gives us a way of commuting it through a Wilson line that we have in the boundary. If we have two arbitrary Wilson lines in the boundary, there should be no way to commute them through each other. And then it's natural to say that the only reason why some given red Wilson line here should be movable through this other one, through any other one, is that it actually comes from a Wilson line in the bulk. And that simply means for the functor that it's essentially surjective. And together with the previous property, this means that it gives an equivalence. And also, you can see that this will be braided because of this central structure that you have. So in short, we propose that a compatible boundary condition for a bulk region labeled by a modular tensor category C will be the following. We call it the width trivialization, a functor from C to the center of some fusion category, which is a braided equivalence. And why width trivialization? Well, we have seen in Michael Müger's talk that there is this width group of modular tensor categories and those which are centers of fusion categories form the trivial class of the trivial element of that group. So this means, in particular, that there is an obstruction for existence of boundaries. A general modular tensor category will not be V-trivial. So unless it is trivial, the class of the category is trivial in the V group, there will be no compatible topological boundaries. But let's assume we are in this situation, so we have one boundary condition A. Then we could look at others that look at second one, which we call B. We can play the same business as before. There will then be a fusion category WB of Wilson lines in that boundary labeled B. And correspondingly, there will be such a trivialization. Now, in addition to that, once we have these two boundary conditions, we can look at Wilson lines which separate a region in the boundary labeled by A from another region labeled by B. And this will give us a category which we call a WAB. And again, this will be of the same type as these other categories. Now, if we look at this situation and look at fusion in the region labeled by A, then this will furnish a functor from the Cartesian product of WA and WAB to WAB. Just by analogous arguments as before, can be recognized to give us a left module structure over WA on this category WAB of mixed Wilson lines. And in the same way, if you look at fusions in a region labeled by B, will be a right module category over WB. However, because of this property here, it will also be a right module category over the module and the functors of WAB. By general principle. Remember, module endofunctor, sorry. I do not say more. So we see that this category of mixed Wilson lines will be a right module category over WB, but also over this. And again, we impose a kind of simplest possibility, namely we say that these two categories should be equivalent. Now, this is a strong requirement, but at least there's a nice consistency check. If you take the center on both sides, then one knows there's a canonical equivalence. This has been shown by Schauenburg. If we impose that, then we see that we get WB from in terms of WA, and therefore we can formulate all our structures in terms of a single reference boundary condition, let's say the one we label by A. And then the conjecture is that the boundary conditions for C form the bi-category of WA modules, where A is a chosen reference boundary condition. And as we have seen, it corresponds, it must be such that C is equivalent to the center of WA. You can then also look at boundary conditions, Wilson lines, mixed Wilson lines between any pair of boundary conditions. Again, these are described by categories of module functors. And here, just one word of warning, maybe. If we have a module M over the fusion category WA, then via the forgetful functor from the center to WA, if we can combine this information to get a C module structure on this abelian category M. But not every module category over C gives us a boundary condition, but only those which are actually WA modules. So for example, if you look at the toric code, where C is the center of, say, two graded vector spaces, then C has turns out to have six inequivalent indecomposable modules, but the two graded vector spaces have only two, and two is the right number for boundary conditions that has been established independently in various ways.
This is the implementation of the six, or the other four?
There is no. I mean, it's clear that you can have more module categories, but they do not play a role in this in this description at all. So. Well, of course, you could look at situations where C. This is in particular also a fusion category, plays the role of this WA, but that's not the situation we are looking at here.
So between C itself.
If you look at phase between C itself, then we will see them again. I mentioned that interfaces. That will be the next slide. So far, I have talked about boundary conditions. I'm really interested in defects, two-dimensional defects, interfaces. But once we have understood boundary conditions, this is needed. Namely, if we have now a defect separating two bulk regions labeled by two modular tensor categories C1 and C2, then we can just play one game on this side, where we have our category C1, say, and on the other side of the wall, where we have C2, in the same way as before, in the room here, we will get a functor which I haven't given a name here. So a monoidal functor from C1 to some category which I now call the defect now D. So a functor to a fusion category WD, and another functor to WD from C2. But we have to take care of orientation, so it's really C2 with inverse braiding and inverse twist. And these can be combined then to a functor from the delinear product of these two categories to WD. And again, this will have the structure of a central functor. And then the analysis, further analysis that we have been doing for this vitrialization of C now applies to the vitrialization of C1 delinear product with C2 with reverse braiding. So imposing the same assumption about naturality, which gives us essential surjectivity, we will get a braided equivalence between this delinear product and the center of the fusion category WD. And the obstruction is now that there can be defects between two regions labeled by C1 and C2, even only if the classes of these two categories in the weak group are the same. And in the same way as before, we can choose one reference defect D and interpret the collection of all possible defects separating C1 and C2 as forming the bi-category of modules over WD. And now concerning David, your question here. If we look at a particular case where we have the same bulk theory on both sides of our defect, then we need a vitrivalization of C box times C ref, but there is a canonical one. C is modular, and modularity is equivalent to saying that there does exist such a great equivalence with the center. So it's natural to choose for our WD here C itself. And then we see the defects separating C from itself, they are described by C modules. So the C modules appear for the defects, but not for the boundaries. And in particular, among these defects, there will be the regular C module category, given where the action is just a tensor product. And this we call the transparent defect then, because it's easy to verify that, to argue that this will play the role of the tensor unit for the fusion product. We do not describe a fusion product here, notice, but at least in some classes of theories, we can say a bit more. And note in particular that if we have this transparent defect, then the Wilson lines in that transparent defect are just ordinary Wilson lines, and they are labeled by C. As they should be. We can also look at the Turaya-Fierro case, where our modular categories are already centers. Then this linear product can be written as a center itself. And then this fusion category here is the natural choice for our reference defect condition. And then we can say that defects separating C1 and C2, which are of this form from each other, are A1 box times A2 opposite modules, but this is the same as A1, A2 bimodules. And this actually had been seen before by different arguments. I have also prepared a few comments about Dijkstra-Witten series as a special case of Turaya-Fierro, and about the situation where we deal with modular tensor categories which themselves are some delinear power, but I will not have time to go into that. So I rather maybe let me just mention about this. Case here, this is interesting because if we just have a generic modular tensor category, then the only generic module we know is the trivial one, the regular one, and finding any other could be hard. But in this situation, there are various natural ones which are related to permutations, and actually, one can see that. If we look at the transmission, we can look at the process of trying to move a bulk Winsel line through a defect. And for this type of defects, something one can analyze in detail. Generally, in the case. Something I do not want to go into, but just mention is that we can relate this module. It has been mentioned before in a talk that these module categories are related to algebras in our tensor categories, and if these algebras are Atsumaya, relatively easily describe this transmission process. And in this particular case, one sees that the transmission of a Wilson line amounts to precisely the permutation that is used to define the defect. This process has been used in proposals to use such permutation twist defects in topological orders in quantum computers. Dyckhoff-Witten, maybe I say nothing. Instead, I come to the second part. What we now would like to do is, we have seen this Reshetnikov-Turayev picture. There are some natural conjectures. One could could try to make them precise, and various things have to be defined in detail. It turns out that some of them become more easy to handle if one decides to start directly from the situation that we have. Spherical fusion category A, such that our modular tensor category is a center. This should be a C, I guess. But at this point, actually, it turns out when you look at some details that you do not have to assume really a spherical fusion category. You can be quite a bit more general. It's enough to assume just some finite tensor category. Finite tensor category was not mentioned before in the talks. Roughly, it's just the same as a fusion category without requiring semisimplicity. Just take all the other requirements as long as they make sense in the non-semisimple setting. So not necessarily semisimple, but we also do not require that there is a pivotal or spherical structure. And when you do that, you need some additional tools, but they are very well known. They are constructions which replace the notion of a direct sum of tensor products of simple objects. These are ends and coends, and it's also convenient to describe some of the relationships in terms of monads. A monad is nothing but an algebra in a category of endofunctors, and this replaces or can be used to replace the idea of algebra for the situation that I have categories which are not necessarily monoidal. If they are monoidal, then a typical example for a monad is the endofunctor given by the free functor for a given algebra. So in this definition of two vector spaces I give before, I now forget about the semisimplicity requirement. And also then I will have finite k-linear categories as decoration data, which I want to use in a construction which is analogous to the Turayev zero state sum construction. As I said in the beginning, I will just try to describe some simple steps in this direction. In particular, I will not say anything about a three-dimensional part. This is not. This is far from being under control. It turns out that if you insist of working in this general framework, then you have to put some further structure on the manifolds, which I will describe. But in applications in physics, this might actually be something you naturally have. So, for example, one kind of application would be to conformal field theory. And in those cases, in that situation, the relation between two-dimensional conformal field theory and three-dimensional topological field theory, you do not deal with arbitrary three manifolds, but only with very special ones. And concretely, one possibility is to work with comb manifolds. In the kind of generalized triangulations you are looking at, you require that you have a CW structure. in your stratifications, and concretely for surfaces, this can be formalized by what is called a polygonal complex, a CW complex has certain properties, and this has been used before, quite some time before, by Kuberbeck. So various details can be found here. There are various technical details you have to look at. I just want to mention one here. The zero cells in your complex we actually replaced by small circles. So if you have a vertex here, we take a circle. And if you have attached one cells, then this circle will get some distinguished points, and we will have to. Well, it turns out to be convenient to use to work with such circles, and also in order to easily formulate various statements, it's convenient to choose some metric, but that is completely inessential mathematically. Let me just make a few comments on the decorations. If we have a three, now we have such a cell decomposition. To three cells, we assign faces. This will be just some finite tensor categories. To defects, two-dimensional, two cells between such faces. If on one side we have category A and on the other side A prime, we assign a bimodule category, B. And in particular, if A prime is equal to A, then there is the distinguished situation that we have the regular bimodule. And this includes also the situation of physical boundaries, where on one side of the defect we have the trivial theory, which means that the finite tensor category is just vector spaces. And
are there complete examples of finite tensor categories which are not fusion?
Oh, yes. Every fusion category is equivalent to the representation category of a V quasi-Hopf algebra that is semi-simple. Now you just forget about semi-simple and then you get a finite tensor category.
Are there examples?
Yes, from quantum groups and there are various types of examples. I mean, there are classes of I mean, here I do not require, at this point we do not require braiding, but even if you require a ribbon structure, there are classes of non-semi-simple categories.
Dreyfus doubles. I mean, Dreyfus doubles are not semi-simple.
Well, they are semi-simple if you worry about over the complex numbers. So if you work.
I mean, of non-semi-simple.
Ah, Dreyfus.
Yeah.
Yes, but then yeah. For example, you had a yeah. There are various details I have no time to go into, but let me just mention what we do with one cell. So this would correspond to such defects in a given. Wilson lines in a given defect, or we could have the general situation that various different defects meet in one cell. And if you think about it, you should assign to this some category. And this category now can be obtained as follows. First, we replace the line by a small cylinder. And if we now look at
a cross-section here.
We will have this situation with such a circle. And then on this circle there will be distinguished points which carry the decorations coming that correspond to the defects here, so these bimodule categories. and to this situation here, which we call a decorated one manifold, we want to associate a category. The main idea here is that this is a category of so-called balancings for a certain bimodule category associated to the circle. So we get this category in two steps. First, a certain bimodule category, and then do something with that. And let me just tell you what a balancing is. Here's the formal definition. It's a generalization of the notion of a half braiding to the case that you deal with module categories rather than tensor categories. And then we call can look at categories of objects with a balancing. So this is a generalization of the Drinfeld center. Indeed, if we just for B take the regular bimodule A itself, then we get back the Drinfeld center. And also, in case that we have duals on our category, then actually these balancings are isomorphisms, and it follows that this category of objects with balancings can be written is equivalent to a category of modules over a monad, namely the monad, the Ender functor from B to B, which sends any object B to a certain coend. And then finally, we have this situation with the circle, and so we have some fusion categories and bimodule categories with respect to them, and then we just say B of S is just the linear product of all these bimodule categories, and it turns out that on this the linear product we have commuting monads for each corresponding to each of these fusion categories. And this can be combined into a monad on this the linear product, and then we can define the category associated to the circle as the category of modules with respect to that monad. And in particular, in the case where all the fusion categories are the same and all the bimodule categories are the regular ones, we recover the center, which is what we should associate to a circle in the standard TV case. And maybe I do not mention this. Also, you can check that in the case of Dyckhoff-Witten theories, you reproduce you reproduce results that I did not show before, but which were on the slides. Then finally, one would like to construct space of conformal blocks or state spaces or ground state spaces in the tensor network models for any surface. We start from a surface sigma with this structure of a polygonal complex and various other information. We want to associate a vector space, or rather a functor of conformal blocks to that. It turns out that we can, well, the functor should be of the following form. If we have our surface, will have various
vertices,
and to each of the vertices, there are incoming and outgoing vertices, and the functor will be a functor from the tensor product of the categories associated to the incoming ones to those of the outgoing ones, or if we restrict to the situation that there are only incoming ones to vector spaces, and this way, if we have such a functor, we will also be able to give to obtain concrete vector spaces, and we can construct this functor in two steps. The first is that we, instead of the category C, we use these bimodule categories B, and this is really a generalization of a state sum construction. We can define a functor in this form. There are certain certain type of coends, and what we are using here in order to write the functor in this form is that the linear product over these bimodule categories associated to vertices actually can also be written as a is equivalent to the linear product of the bimodule categories associated with the edges and their opposites. And just to give you an impression of the type of expression that we get this way for state sum is such a we are looking here at the particular situation of a circle with one incoming and one outgoing vertex with certain fusion categories here and bimodule categories. With bimodule categories M and N here, and then on the vertices we have these bimodule categories. And in order to write a state sum in this form, we're actually using the fact that such the linear products can also be written in terms of suitable functor categories. And the important result here is that this is the prescription, and by using various rewritings, you get you see that actually these functor vector spaces you get via these functors are spaces of natural transformations, and this is the first step, and we call the resulting vector space free blocks, and then the second step is imposing flatness, and it turns out that these functors associated to the vertices are actually module functors, and going from the pre-blocks to the blocks means precisely that we not look at all natural transformations, but only on those compatible with the module structure. And this has been proven in unpublished work for the G0 case. In the absence of defects, if everything is just labeled by transparent objects, one recovers standard derived zero, and then everything else in the construction still has to be done. So, thank you very much.
We still have 5 minutes for questions.
Will the width slice be labeled by object with this finite tensor algebra, of a finite tensor category, or by some other fusion category obtained?
Well, we are here in the Turayev-Viro case.
Yes.
Then we have seen in the previous description, in the first part, which assumed semi-simplicity, the result of the conjecture. The conjecture is that we deal with a module category over this linear product, which amounts to a bimodule category. And the notion of bimodule category we have for any tensor category, and in particular for any finite tensor category. So we just have to label now defects by bimodule categories over this more general class of a pair of objects in this more general class of categories. And of course, at some point in the construction, it can happen, in principle, that you can go on only if you put further restrictions on your categories. But up to that point that I have shown, everything is fine with finite tensor categories. And there are some indications that if you really stick to the combed case, that you can extend this to three dimensions. But this I would not formulate as a conjecture.
There's, I think, a paper by Chris Douglas, Chris Schumer-Priest, and Noah Snyder, where they show that if you start with finite tensor categories and want to see which finite tensor categories are fully dualizable objects in the three categories of finite tensor categories, bimodule categories, intertwining functors, natural transformations, then this implies those are going to be semi-simple finite tensor.
The fully dual, yes.
Fully
dual, yes.
So
yes.
That would imply that if you after a fully extended TQFT, that you have to be semi-simple.
If it's oriented TFT, it has to be semi-simple. But in that paper, look for the word combed, and you will find some remarks on generalization.
Thanks. Yeah, that's it.
So can you use a tensor, finite tensor, to this thing that model, which is
in your talk at one point you said that maybe there are interesting applications where you do not require unitarity. Now in the non-semi-simple case you do not have unitarity. So the standard answer I would get from people when I'm asking is in those applications you want to have unitary some kind of
Yes.
I definitely would hope that there are generalizations of some of those models where it's enough to require finite tensor category instead of fusion category. But we have seen in the talks in this morning that when you work with Hopf algebras, for example, at some point it's natural to impose semi-simplicity. But I would say I definitely can imagine that that there are some applications in that direction. Maybe not directly to generalize topological phases, but to some. There could be some applications in that area. But that is complete speculation.
Further questions? If there are further questions, we'll carry into the coffee break. So now, just a reminder, after the coffee break,